Tonight is Rosh Chodesh. We're going to be having Yalla V'Yavo. We're just going to go over some of the laws associated with the 9 days, but starting with a question, and that question is really, what is the nature of the laws that we have, these restrictions that we have during the 9 days? It seems slightly elusive. What does it mean, elusive? So you might understand that Tisha B'Av and the 9 days are associated with Avelus, with mourning, as we've spoken about in the past. The question, of course, is if it's associated with mourning, so during mourning, can you drink wine? Yes, you can drink wine when a person is a mourner. Can you eat meat? Yes. Can you do it during the 9 days? No. So what is it? Is it a form of mourning? So we discussed yesterday the idea that drinking wine perhaps is related to korbanos, sacrifices, and maybe meat would also be related to the same idea. Also difficult to understand fully why specifically meat during the time that we can't have bread. Can you have bread? There are meal offerings. So why are you allowed to have bread during this time? So what is the nature of this type of mourning? Furthermore, there are some of the aspects of mourning that we have during the 9 days in Tisha B'Av that do match up with mourners in Avelus, such as no washing, no anointing. So those are things you can do, not wearing shoes. Also things that are Tisha B'Av related, but not 9 days related. So where is this actually fitting in this category over here? Now, we usually compare Tisha B'Av to Yom Kippur. Both are fast days. Both fast days start the night before. Both have other prohibitions, as we know, of wearing shoes, of anointing, of washing, Tash Shemitah, marital relations. They all seem to match up as if they're the same, but they don't actually seem to match up the same way. They're not exactly fundamentally the same, and the Poskim discuss that there are differences. For example, one unique difference is on Yom Kippur, we know that we try to get 100 blessings a day. Every day we try to get 100 blessings. Well, on Yom Kippur, we kind of miss out on a few. You can't eat, so there's certain things. So the suggestion is that one should actually make a bracha on things that you can smell, whether it's fresh coffee beans or hadassim or other things like that. You make separate brachos on that. But on Tisha B'Av, the Shulchan Aruch says, don't do it. Don't smell nice things. Why not? Why can't you smell nice things? I want to get the same number. Okay, so you'll tell me you have enough brachos. But he seems to say that it's prohibited. So what is the nature of these prohibitions that we have during the 9 days, and Tisha B'Av, how does it compare to regular mourning? How does it compare to Yom Kippur? What is the ultimate connection? So I'm not going to give you a full answer, because I don't have a full answer. I'm giving you a partial answer of what this is about. So we know that there's a concept called Mishenichnas Av Mematim B'Simcha. When the month of Av comes, we diminish our Simcha. Note this, on Yom Kippur, can you decide to cause more afflictions to yourself? On Yom Kippur, is it okay to like walk on a bed of nails? Can you do that? Is that okay? How about on Tisha B'Av? Is that okay? Some of you are excited, right? Could I do that? Good question. Is there a prohibition of adding affliction to yourself to Yom Kippur? And is there a same prohibition of adding affliction to yourself on Tisha B'Av? This is a good question. Well, on Yom Kippur, generally we don't do it. We don't necessarily add things. But on Tisha B'Av, the Ramah writes, well, the Shulchan Aruch writes that some people, they actually will sleep on the floor. Or if you're used to sleeping with two pillows, you sleep with one pillow. So why are we doing this? Why do we do this specifically on Tisha B'Av? So it seems that on Yom Kippur, we have a biblical obligation to have a level of inui, of some level of affliction. That level of affliction requires us to withhold from certain things, withhold from certain pleasures. Whereas on Tisha B'Av, it's actually not about withholding from pleasures. It's actually about mourning and feeling loss. So on Tisha B'Av, we actually might take upon ourselves more things that we're going to do in order to have a sense of affliction and a sense of loss. Now, we quoted the Gemara that says, just like in Av, you diminish your joy, so to another, you increase your joy. So diminishing joy is something that's specific to the month of Av and to Tisha B'Av itself. We don't have that in Yom Kippur. You don't have it like the days before Yom Kippur. You're going to diminish anything. You're going to do anything like that. But in the month of Av, you have that. And in Tisha B'Av as well, you have more restrictions that take place. So the same things that look like the same laws may fundamentally actually be a little bit different in the way the laws are actually played out, which may give you a little bit of insight into this idea of why we don't listen to music during this time, why even though a mourner is eating meat, we're not eating meat. You don't have that law associated with Yom Kippur whatsoever, because it's the concept of limiting the joy that you have, and it's the concept of being able to not experience as much joy as you would like to usually do. And when you're dealing with the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, for us to just say, oh, I feel bad, we lost the Beis HaMikdash, Chazal, our rabbis understood that that's not going to cut it. The only way for a person to actualize what it means to mourn is to be able to take upon themselves restrictions so they feel some level of loss. Now, it doesn't mean that people are really mourning for the Beis HaMikdash. The fact that for the next 9 days, minus tomorrow or whatever, for the next 8 days, or 7 days, you're not going to eat meat or drink wine. Do you feel a loss for the Beis HaMikdash? I would say maybe not. Maybe you don't feel, you feel a loss for the meat. You feel a loss for the wine. Like, you know, it's sitting there alone in my fridge. What do I do? Right? So the loss that you feel is that you can't have these things. But what is that actually doing for us? What is it actually doing for us? It's diminishing our general level of simcha. That's what's ultimately happening over here. We have to do things that will diminish our simcha. Someone says to you, why are you diminishing your simcha? Whatever, the rabbi still may have to because the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. So now you're upset that the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed because of the fact that you can't have meat and wine or you can't do laundry, you can't do other things. Maybe you're not feeling the pain of it, but you're doing something physical that aligns you with the rest of the Jewish people, and that has an overarching concept called destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So really, in fact, even though we like to compare the 9 days to Yom Kippur, or whatever, to the Tisha B'Av to Yom Kippur, or the 9 days to actual mourning practices, they don't really match up because they have fundamentally different roles. It's interesting, someone showed me today, there's a Rashi in the Gemara in Sukkah which discusses why a mourner can't put on shoes, why a mourner can't do certain things. And it's not because that he's supposed to be Bitzar. There is no requirement for a mourner to be in pain. That's not the requirement. The requirement is for him to show extra honor to the person who passed away. And by not doing these things, he's diminishing certain things for the honor of the person who passed away, not that they're actually going to feel any pain. Whereas on Tisha B'Av, it seems, it's not about honor, it's actually about pain. So the removal of pleasures that we have during this time is something that's incumbent upon us. And so therefore, if it bothers you that you can't do laundry, if it bothers you that you can't eat meat or drink wine, fantastic. It should bother you. Whether you feel bad for the Beis HaMikdash, that's okay. We understand that it might be too difficult for a person to feel that. But the fact that it bothers you, and you're doing that because the rabbis told you that for the sake of the Beis HaMikdash, you are fulfilling a tremendous mitzvah by withholding from these things. And the pain itself that causes you is good enough to be able to fulfill this yearning for the Beis HaMikdash. So let's keep that in mind when it comes to these 9 days rules that we have, the laws that we have. You may feel distant from them, but ultimately it is the deepest connector you can actually have by you actually feeling some level of tzar. Let's just mention a couple of things, just to clarify for those that are not sure. One, eating meat and drinking wine, as we've already mentioned, that includes grape juice. You can't have meat or wine or grape juice. Meat also includes chicken and anything that's called meat. Anything that falls into that category that would make you fleishik, those are things you cannot actually have during the 9 days. We mentioned that we're not purchasing any new items during this time. And we mentioned the other day to have all your clothing cleaned, but you should actually try them on ahead of time. What do you do now that you can't try it on? Shmuel Kamenetsky is of the opinion that you have to take the freshness out of the clothing. How do you take the freshness out? So before the 9 days, you try them on, you wear them. After the 9 days, like during now, you throw them on the floor for a few minutes, kick them around a little bit so they lose a little bit of their freshness. So we discussed in the past, I still don't know how that actually works. Obviously, it can't be a clean floor that you just mopped and then you throw the clothing on the floor. But the point is, the clothing that you've already washed, whether it's towels or clothing or things like that, you should take out the freshness from those things during the 9 days. We are continuing to not actually listen to music, and we're also not doing any type of building, unless it's building for a mitzvah, such as doing shul improvements. But otherwise, we're not actually doing things for the sake of any building. If a person's working in it, they have their house being worked on, so there's a question on that, how you can continue your workers to continue doing it, and you have to ask on a specific basis related to that. yes, as Irving pointed out yesterday, about doing a siyum, that perhaps a siyum would work, that people can do it. Maybe it was somebody else, I don't remember if it was Irving or Gene that asked that question about doing a siyum. Yes, it is doable that a person can do that. We're also limiting on washing. This is a hard one, as we discussed, but we're limiting on washing. That means showering. So if a person exercises, that would be permitted. But if you do have to shower because it's too difficult, it's too hot, too sweaty, we ask that you don't use hot water or you limit the hot water intake or outtake in order so you can actually wash yourself. So that's another thing that we do during this time. And these are some of the basic ones. I'm sure I missed something. But these are some of the basic ones that we have that we're doing during the 9 days. It's not easy, it's not simple, but it's rewarding because you are doing these things for Tzar, you're doing these things for the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore you will see bracha as you're able to fill each one of these things.